EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Wherever in the world you are joining us from, we are starting off tonight with our voice submissions. The first is Irene from Florida with a UFO experience from 1974, followed by Dan from British Columbia, Canada, with a sighting from the mid-90s. Then we move on to Rudy from Texas, sharing his grandparents' encounter with a UFO in 1980, while on a journey from Texas to Mexico. And then finally, we are joined by Daniel from New York and his experience of a strange craft on his uncle's remote Virginia farm. Before we hear from our witnesses, I want to give everyone who was given a 5-star ratings and review this week on Apple Podcasts. And they are Spirited Wonder, Daddy Ditch from the UK, Woodrow Webster and Queezebox from the US, and Chili Man from New Zealand. Leaving a review really helps the show to grow and become more discoverable for future listeners and guests. Now, just a quickie, thank you to Jason for becoming our newest patron this week and supporting the show on Patreon. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
I was living in East St. Louis, Illinois, about 5 miles from St. Louis, Missouri. I just wanted to share my UFO experience. It was in the summer of 1974. I was 10 years old. My brother, he was 12. We were going outside to play around our garage, something we did often. We looked up toward the garage that we clamped up regularly as kids. We saw the UFO. It was hovering low over the garage. The trees wasn't even moving. It was gray in color. No writing was seen. No noise. It was very quiet. By me being 10, I got scared and I ran. And I looked back. My brother was still standing there staring at the UFO. I made it in the house and told my mother what I saw and told her that my brother is still out there. And when we went out, the UFO was gone and my brother was gone. We looked for him. my brother. We look for my brother and walking around the house, the whole house. When we got back to where we saw the UFO, he was standing there in the spot where I left him. My mother asked my brother, where had he been? We was looking for you. He said he was right here. He said he hadn't been anywhere. From that day until now, my brother still don't remember anything about that day. He went to the military and they done some x-rays on him for some reason. I don't know, but he told me it was a metal object. Wondered how he got that in his body. And they removed the object. And I wish he could remember what happened to him that day, but I'll never forget.
Hey, Nick, big fan of the podcast. I know you take submissions, so I just wanted to fire one off to you that maybe you'll find interesting. This is something that took place back in the mid-90s, maybe 96, 97, when I was like 12, 13 years old. Anyways, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible, but basically what happened was I grew up in Prince George, British Columbia, Canada. So that's a northern capital. And where we lived was on the northern edge of the city. It's a small city. At that time, it was maybe 70,000 people. And where we lived was on an acreage. There's no light pollution out there. Like, you can see the sky in the summer, all the stars so well. And sometimes me and friends, or my older brother and his friends, we'd lay on our front lawn, which is basically like a big field. And we'd lay on the front lawn just like in our sleeping bags at night, and it's kind of like our version of camping without leaving the house. So anyways, one night we're laying there, and you know when you see a satellite go by, it just kind of moves at a steady pace, kind of slow, and it's pretty easy to tell it's a satellite or a space station. Well, we've seen something like that that just kind of like, it must have been way up there. Like, it wasn't close by any means. It about the size of a satellite, but it zipped into view, like, and kind of stopped almost directly above us. Like, we're all just like, wow, what is that? Can you see that? And then hung out for a few moments and then just took off, like, so fast that it basically, like, if you were standing still and you looked up straight up into the sky and it was above you, it zipped off so fast, dude, it hit the horizon and like 3 to 5 seconds, maybe. So quite quick. And we're all just, oh my God, we're free, losing our minds. And then a few minutes later, the same thing, as if it had zipped around the earth and came back the other way. It came from the same direction it initially came and did the same thing. Like, it stopped there. But this time it was joined by some other little dots of light. And these things, the only way I could describe it is like if you walked into a lake and there was some baby fish, little minnows kind of in the shore, you know, when you walk towards them, they'll dart away like a foot and then they'll just stop. And then if you walk towards them again, they'll dart the other direction, kind of like a school of fish, just like they go quickly one way and then stop, and then you go quickly the other way, like until they think they're out of danger's way. That's how these things were doing. That's what these things were doing. They were just kind of, they would dart and stop and then dart. And then eventually they all just kind of faded away, like they just disappeared. And it was just wild. Like, we were losing our minds, and we hadn't told my dad, like, you had to see this. We just saw aliens. But of course he doesn't. Oh, you kids got wild imaginations. But I thought maybe my memory of this was just shoddy, because I know human memories aren't the most reliable. So I'm always skeptical of my memories from something that long ago. So about a week ago, I was sending my brother some links to your podcast, and I was like, hey, do you remember seeing something when we were laying on the front lawn? And he was like, oh yeah, that thing like went around the earth and this and that. I was like, yeah, like I thought I was just misremembering this, or, you know, just. So yeah, both him and his friend, they were both there, witnessed it with me. If you live in Prince George, any of your listeners, keep your eyes on the sky. You guys have a beautiful view out there, and who knows what you're going to see. The only other thing I ever seen in my life, as much as, like, I'm always carrying my camera, just like, come on. I got to see something sometime. But the only other thing I ever seen was probably, I think it was that same summer, I was laying in my bedroom, and at the foot of my bed, there's a big window that kind of, yeah, looked like I can see a lot of the sky and rolling hills and stuff. And it was at night, I was going to bed, and out of the corner of my window, it just, you could see a red light come into view in the distance, like in the sky, kind of like a plane just flying across your view through the window. But when it got halfway across the window, it stopped, and then it stayed there for a second, and then it just shot off like incredible speed back the direction it came. And I just jumped out of bed, and it was like, it was probably like midnight or something. I ran downstairs and woke my brother up, like, come on, you got to see this. And brought him up, and of course there was nothing there, so he's just kind of mad at me for waking him up, like, oh, you're just dreaming, you don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, it was, I definitely seen that. So, and those were both probably mid-90s in Prince George. Yeah, that's it for me. Love the podcast, love what you do. I like how you give people that even I'm like, yeah, questionable stories, like, you're just patient and you just listen and let them speak. So I'm sure there'll be people out there that will think I didn't see what I saw, but hey man, they're out there. All right, take care. Bye.
Welcome to the show, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Nick. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you on today, man. Now, Rudy, you're going to be sharing an encounter that happened to your grandparents in 1980?
Yes, sir. About 40 years ago. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please?
Yes, sir. This takes place on August 6, 1980. My grandparents were traveling from Odessa, Texas to Mexico due to a family emergency. They took off at around 11 p.m. on the night of the 5th with their two kids, which is my dad and my aunt. My grandpa, along with my grandma's uncle and brother, were riding in the front seat, and my grandma and the kids were riding in the back. So between 2:30 and 3 a.m. south of Marfa, Texas, is when they saw something strange by the Tenati Peak Mountains. And the Tenati Peaks, man, I've driven by them a couple times. They're to your right side as you're going towards Mexico. If you look that way, man, it's just like a dark valley of mountains, and it looks real eerie. And you can just imagine, you know, if something was there, you know, you could picture it there. And so I'm pretty sure if people who've driven by there, you know, they could relate to that. And they seen something strange by the Chinati Peak Mountains, and they saw what seemed to be when I wrote it in, I said a big fire, but really my grandma said it was a small fire from a distance. They seen a small fire on the ground against the mountain. My grandma asked if it could be illegals trying to stay warm. And her uncle said I don't think so, because it'd catch the attention of law enforcement and eventually, you know, get them caught and locked up. So that was disregarded. And my grandparents didn't say that the fire started forming and rising up to the top of the mountain. That's when my grandma screamed, "Look!" And that's when they all looked, you know, and they realized what it was, you know, and fear started to spread out throughout the car as what they described to be a tremendously, tremendously fast spinning disc, shaped as if a Frisbee was laid on its face with another one on top, like a disc. She said, there was like red and yellow fire color smoke raging from the bottom and from the top. They said, you know, how fast it was spinning. They said they could almost feel it from the car. My grandparents say that it then started following them from a distance along the mountains. My grandpa says that it jumped like a rabbit jumping over weeds, over the mountains. So if you can just picture that, you know, it moving real quickly up and down on the sides of the mountains while following my grandparents. It would abruptly stop when they stopped, and it would accelerate when they did. At one time, the disc crossed over into the stream in front of them. It was about a half a mile in front of them and about two light posts high. My aunt said that it looked big enough to fit a car into it. So, you know, they all got, you know, pretty scared. The kids started crying. You know, my grandma started crying, and she started to pray out loud, you know. And they had heard about the abductions happening at the time, so they were aware of what could possibly happen. But my grandpa, he's one of the bravest men that I know, man, and he's one of the most honest men that I know. And he wanted to catch their attention. So he pulled off to the side of the road, and he got off the vehicle with the flashlight. He then tempted and called out for the disc to get closer while pointing the flashlight towards it, saying, come on, come on, you know, trying to, like, make it come closer so he could observe it better. Well, my grandma wasn't having it. She got out the car, and she took the flashlight from him. She told him to, you know, get back in the car and let's haul ass out of here. So then the disc then moved back towards the mountains. My grandpa's, he said it moved like a rabbit jumping over weeds. And when it moved, he said it moved like a Frisbee being thrown at a park. So then my grandma said she could see little windows and lights inside. And the color of the light was just like a, you know, like a regular light bulb that you have at your house. But they couldn't see nobody controlling it. They couldn't see nobody inside. They said it made no sound, and they couldn't really see a color due to it being dark. Once my grandparents got back on the road, the disc was still following them at a distance. You know, it would go up and down the sides of the mountains. Then finally, it went behind one mountain, and it never came back out on the other side. Approaching the ghost town of Shafter, Texas, is when the disc disappeared. So it's the Chinati Peak is between Shafter, Texas, and Marfa, Texas. My grandma, well, you know, she was still in shock and scared. She asked my uncle if it could be witches, but he replied, "You need a whole regiment of witches to make something like that." My grandma had to deal with a jealous witch back in Mexico when her and my grandpa first married, but I'll save that for another story. They said only one truck passed them throughout the whole incident. It never stopped or slowed down. It just carried on. They weren't sure if the truck had seen it as well. I think that's a little suspicious. I mean, if it was something like that happening, you would expect for somebody else to see it or pull over, unless they were scared and trying to get out of there too. But I just find that a little suspicious. But they had heard about the Marfa lights, but in no comparison was it similar to what they seen. You know, to some who don't know what the Marfa lights are, they're just like lights, different colored lights that pop up from a distance, you know, and nobody really has concluded what it is or whatnot. But yeah, this is far from what they had seen. Unfortunately, they don't have no proof. They didn't have a camera at that time. My grandpa worked at a plant here in Odessa for 43 years and finally retired. He tells me that his coworkers would say he was lucky to have been able to see that. His coworkers would even try to go to the same spot at around the same time to try to catch it, but no one ever seen it. My grandpa talks about an elderly man who worked at the plant who told him during World War II, there was a base station there in Marfa. The foot soldiers, you know, would see the lights and they would think it was the Germans coming to attack. So they would call in, you know, the planes to go out there and to scout in the sky. But the pilots in the planes would report seeing nothing. But the foot soldiers would still say, "Hey, I could see it from down here," but they couldn't see it from up there. I've known this story since I was a kid, but I've recently got into podcasts, you know, and I started hearing other people's stories, and I really wanted to get this out for my grandpa. And this is actually the first time me telling it on a podcast and having an interview with somebody. So I really do appreciate that. You know, my grandpa wishes that he could see it again. He even tells me sometimes that we should go over there and park and just check it out. And one day I'm going to take some vacation time, man. I'm going to make it happen. And he asked, you know, if anybody with a similar story, you know, around the same area, and if not, even if it's not in the same area, just with a similar story, you know, to please come forward and to, you know, share their experience. And maybe, you know, we could match some things up and find some answers to something, you know, to what it was or what it could have been, you know.
That's great, Rudy.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So this was an experience that your grandparents told you when you were a child?
Yes, sir. And my grandpa's name is Manuel Payen. So this is the first time actually, yeah, getting the story out there, telling it to people out of our circle. So yeah, since I was a kid, you know, I would overhear my grandparents telling, you know, their friends and their family about the story. And I started asking them about it. And so I started, you know, putting the pieces to the puzzle together, getting little details, and I'm still getting little details here and there, you know, and I would tell it to my friends and they would trip out because they had never really heard a UFO story like that. And a lot of people travel here to Ojinaga, Mexico, and they're familiar with the area. So yeah, man, since I was a kid, I've known about it. But recently I've gotten into podcasts and I've heard, you know, other people putting their stories out there. And this is something that I wanted to do for my grandpa and get a story out there.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you can share it for him. But you actually interviewed them on a video as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was about 2 years ago, and I had asked them if it was okay. And, you know, my grandpa was real persistent on it, like, yeah, let's do it. And at first I was thinking, you know, I'm going to record them and save that video for, like, my kids, my grandkids, and for them to pass it on and to keep the story within, you know, the family and have proof of my grandparents actually telling it. But I started thinking about it and say, you know what, man, this story needs to be out there because it really happened. And I just don't want it just for it, nothing to happen with it. And I want them to know that it's getting out there here while they're still here with me.
That's great. What I can do is I can put a link in the description below and put the video in there. It's in Spanish, isn't it? So
yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Obviously, if any of our listeners speak Spanish, it will certainly help.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And obviously this has really piqued your interest as well in the whole subject.
Yeah, it really has, because I've always been into UFOs. I've always been into the paranormal, and I've never really heard of a story like that, you know, until I did the interview and I actually started putting the story together. You know, I'd never really heard of like a UFO raging, you know, or having like fire colored smoke coming from the bottom, from the top. You know, when my grandpa said it was jumping like a rabbit over weeds, you know, it's like a real vivid thing that I could imagine. And I've never really heard anybody saying stuff like that. You know, it had to be something intelligent for it to be playing with them. I guess that's what it was, you know, stopping when they were stopping and moving when they were moving. It's strange how, like, my grandma seen the fire and then it rose up to the top of the mountain. It's like it knew that my grandma knew that it had seen it. You know, I wonder what would have happened if my grandma would have never seen it.
Exactly. It sounds like it was very inquisitive to your grandparents in the car.
Right. And it's something that stuck with them even till now. You know, my grandma's scared. She don't ever want to see it, but my grandpa does want to see it again.
It's very similar to Travis Walton experience as well, where they saw it looked like what it was a fire in the distance, and then as they drew near.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that, yeah, you're right about that. I recently watched his documentary on Amazon, and it's a whole different perspective.
It is, yeah. I talked to him a few days ago. I've had Mike on, you know, Mike that was in the driver's seat, Mike Rogers.
Oh, okay.
Had him on a few weeks ago and been talking to Travis as well.
Wow, that's neat. That's neat, man. Yeah, Nick, I appreciate you getting me on, man. You know, I've been tuning into the podcast every week, and I'll be sure to keep my eyes to the skies, man.
We've had some great ones, and we've got some great ones on the way, so.
Yeah, I hear you. And yeah, my bad if I sounded nervous or anything, man. Like I said, it was my first time telling it, but it's a privilege, man, to present to you for your podcast. And like I said, you know, me and my grandparents really appreciate it.
Really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that for your grandparents.
No problem, man. I appreciate you taking the time as well. And I'll for sure get back with you.
Great stuff. All right, mate.
All right.
Good talking to you, okay?
Yes, sir. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome to the show, Daniel.
How are we?
Excellent, thank you. And you're calling from New York tonight?
Yes, Long Island, New York.
Long Island, New York, great. Now, you're here to share an experience which happened when you were about 12, 13 years old?
Yes.
Would you like to start at the beginning for us, please, Daniel?
Yeah, of course. So, I'd say my whole thing with UFOs started, I was in like second grade. This wasn't when the experience was. This was just, you know, this little backstory for you guys. I was in about second grade and I was absolutely terrified of aliens. Like it kept me up at night, you know, and I remember my cousin made me sit down and watch this documentary about, you know, the Nevada incident, and it just scared me to my core. And I was terrified. I shared a room with my younger brother. He was 9 years old at the time, yes. And I used to make him sleep next to the window because I wouldn't sleep next to the window because I was scared I'd be abducted through my window. And I told my mom that, and she just laughed at me, and she was like, you're ridiculous. Like, and, you know, if one of you guys were to get abducted, wouldn't you want to protect your little brother? You know, wouldn't you want it to be you? So, you know, regardless, I've always been, you know, it kept me up at night, and it would stop me from going to school sometimes. And my mom actually called my teacher, Mr. Sussman. I'll never forget the conversation. We were walking in the hallway. I was a line leader, and he pulled me aside, and he was like, you know, your mom called me about aliens, and, you know, I'm telling you, they're not real. And, you know, obviously, I mean, he was lying, because if you think aliens aren't real, I think that's pretty ignorant. And especially to be in the education field and, you know, say that to someone, you know, but obviously, I think he was just trying to help me feel a little better about my situation. But so, you know, a couple years go by and I have family that lives all over the country. My mom is one of six. So one of my uncles lives in Virginia and he works on a farm, and that, you know, that, so he has a lot of space for all of my family because my mom's one of six. There's like 50 cousins. You know, so we were a very big family, and we would all go to the farm for Thanksgiving. And so one year we went to, you know, I mean, this was an almost every year, every other year, mostly every year, but sometimes every other year, we would go to the farm and we would play manhunt every night. I remember normally we would play in pairs because there's so many of us, you know, it's just easier and it was safer, so no one got lost. But this one night, not everyone wanted to play. There was only like 20 of us playing. So it was too small to play in pairs. So we were kind of just playing in solos. And, you know, I was a little scaredy cat. So I stayed as close as I could to the house. But I was off by myself. I was off by my own. And there was this big compost pile. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but compost is basically like, you know, garbage from food, scraps, like orange peels, what's left of the onion, you know, when you finish using it, or like mulch, you know, it's this big pile of food and, well, like rotting food, you know, that you want to break down into the ground. So I was hiding behind this like 7-foot compost pile. I was laying down prone. I kind of like felt something. I don't really know how to explain. It was kind of like a gentle wind. And then I started to hear like a whooshing sound. And I was like in my head, you know, I was kind of scared to look up because, you know, I kind of knew in my head what it was before, like, I had to even look at it. I looked up and there was just this silver reflective plate just over like probably 150 feet above me. It had to be at least 30 yards big, you know, 30, 40 yards big. It was huge, like that, you know, that was the diameter of it. But yeah, so I see this plate above me. And at first I was like frozen, and it was kind of, it was weird because there's no lights. Like, you know, when you think UFO, you kind of think light beam, you know, something. It wasn't like that. It was just a silver plate, and I could barely see it. I saw it, you know, I just saw it because of the reflection of, like, you know, the stars off the plate, and the night sky. But it was a very dark, dark silver. And so at first I was kind of like frozen. I didn't really know what to do. And then as soon as I was able to get up and run, I ran back to the house as fast as I could. You know, I got back and it was just, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know, you know, and here I am, this little kid. I didn't think anyone would believe me, but, you know, of course I'm going to go tell my mom. And, you know, so I'm trying to tell her, like, you know, I saw this thing, like, I don't know what it was, you know, I think it was a UFO. And of course she, you know, pushed it down, like, nah, like, you're lying, you know, there's no way there's a UFO, you know, we all would have saw it. But I know what I saw. And so when we were all going to sleep that night, you know, I went and I slept with her because I just couldn't sleep alone. I was terrified. I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I remember the next night, you know, call me crazy, but the eyes of the pigs, there were pigs that were kind of kept in a pen that were close to the campfire that we would all hang out at night. And the eyes of the pigs were like red. And it was the scariest thing. I'll never forget seeing it. And my cousin saw it too. He's a year older than me. He didn't see the UFO, but he definitely saw the eyes of the pigs. And we like kind of ran back to tell everyone. And again, you know, they kind of just pushed it down. But, you know, seeing that UFO that night was traumatizing to me, not to the point where it hurts, but it definitely haunts me. And I'll never be able to unsee that image that I saw that night. You know, it comes up in my dreams. It'll, you know, it, sometimes even I'll just drift away and I'll just, you know, be in the in that position again, looking up at that dark sky, seeing that UFO. It was terrifying.
Could you actually make out any detail of the object?
So I saw it was kind of like a symbol. So, you know, like what symbols are on drums, like, you know, the little, you know, brass symbol. It looked kind of like that, except it was silver. And it even had like the lines like around like how a symbol would have those little like indentation lines in it. That's it literally looked like a huge symbol that was silver.
OK, and you said 30 to 40 yards.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to compare it to. That's just what I'm, you know, going back on it. I kind of couldn't even do the measurements in my head at the moment. It's kind of just like I can remember seeing it. And the only thing I could compare it to was there was a big tree next to me and it was above the tree. And so that's the only thing I can kind of compare it to. So, yeah, I'd say about 30, 40 yards. But like I said, the weird thing was there was no lights. There wasn't even really like there was a light whoosh sound and there was a light gust of wind around me. But it wasn't even circular or anything. I could just feel it was there. Then that's it, you know.
OK. To our foreign listeners, 30, 40 yards, that's about 90 to 120 feet, I think. So, yeah, it's quite a size.
Yes. Yes, no, it was pretty big, and you know, and it was very scary to see something, you know, especially when they've always kind of haunted me as far as, you know, like even, you know, in my own home being scared of seeing one, you know, and now I'm not even in my own home. I'm by myself alone in this, you know, huge field, and all I have is this compost pile to hide behind. And it's above me even, you know, if there was anything looking at me, it definitely saw me.
And are you still scared? Are you still scared of aliens?
Not so much scared. Like, yeah, of course, the thing that scares me is that we don't know, you know, we don't know what's out there or what they are or what they even are capable of. But I've come to the acceptance that they're out there, you know, regardless of whether I'm scared of them or not, they're out there. And to be scared, you know, I can't live my whole life in fear. So it's kind of just an acceptance, you know, not that I'm okay with it, but you know, you kind of have to accept it because it's reality.
You ever thought about going back and telling your old teacher what you saw?
You know, I haven't, but actually maybe I should. I don't know if he still works at the school, but that would actually be a really interesting conversation.
Say, hey man, you lied to me.
You lied to me and it's your fault. I was scared.
You're an educator.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I mean, still to this day, you know, I mean, I should really have a conversation with my uncle about it and see maybe he's seen some things working on the farm. He's been on that farm for 30 plus years, so maybe he has seen some things and maybe he's just not sharing it. But what I know for a fact what I saw, and the fact that I can't unsee it is how I'm so sure that I did see it.
Is he the type of person where you can strike up a conversation like this?
Yeah, and he actually, before he was a farmer, he majored in psychology. So, you know, he was actually trying to be a family therapist. So, you know, he's definitely someone I could talk to about it. I just, you know, at the time, my mom made me feel so small about it, you know, that I didn't really want to talk to anyone else about it. I kind of just shrugged it off. You know, I kept telling myself it didn't happen. But, you know, telling yourself it didn't happen when you could see it every time you close your eyes, you know.
Maybe drop into conversation next time you speak to him, because like there's a lot of strange things which happen out there in rural Virginia.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, that's why I also feel like I wasn't just seeing things, because I feel like if there's anywhere that I was going to see it, that would have been the perfect place and time to see it.
Yeah. Especially out of the city.
Yeah. No, he was he lives by Orange County. I'm not sure if it's Orange County or just Orange, Virginia, but he lives out there. So it's a very small town, and then it's just surrounded by farms. Oh, and it's a great time every time I go there, you know. But, you know, like every time I go there, I can go sit in that same spot and see what I saw, you know, 7-8 years ago.
They could have just been inquisitive, you know. Who's this down here? What's he up to?
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're waiting for me. Yep. And, you know, like I said, whatever, if there was anything looking at me, it definitely saw me. And, you know, that opened my mind to, like, it kind of, in a sense, you know, as traumatizing as it was kind of like closure in a way. You know, it was kind of like, okay, they're there. You know, whatever it is, I have to accept it and deal with it. And the fact that, you know, I wasn't abducted or anything, thank God, you know, I was just left alone. They left me alone. They were just there. You know, maybe that was... maybe, that was supposed to happen. You know, maybe it was supposed to help me come to terms with it.
Very possibly. Or they were going to make contact with you and you legged it. They're like, oh, he's gone.
Exactly. I totally messed it up. Yeah, it's not even worth it. Now there's too many people involved. He blew it. Oh, the pigs were terrifying. And I don't know if that's a thing or if I don't know what it was, but I don't even know if it had any correlation to do with the UFO. But we definitely saw that. I can get him on the phone right now and ask him if he remembered that very situation, and he will 100% back me up on it, because we were both shaking in our boots when we saw that, and then it was like we ran back to go tell everyone, and they were like, oh, they just came up for 100 reasons why, why they would have had red eyes. But I wasn't buying it. And they were saying maybe it could have been a car or something. But the thing is the farm is so secluded. So there's no way that there was a car, because it was like 11:30 at night. All my family was on the farm already. So it was like,
it's very strange.
You know, there was no one that could have been coming. I don't know. It was very, very scary though. And it was so coincidental that it happened, the night after. It was like after that, I was so on edge, from seeing that. And then, from seeing the UFO, and then it was the pigs, and then the fact that my mom told, pushed it down and told me, it wasn't a big deal, I didn't see anything. It was kind of like we felt like we had nowhere to run to, do you know? Like, being a kid, you feel so, insignificant and, weak. What am I going to do if an alien, approaches me?
What's the first thing you do?
And now more than ever, I feel like I'm interested in them, and I would want to communicate with them. But, at that time, I don't know, I'd probably throw my shoe at it and run. So part of why I never was able to come out and talk to anyone on a bigger level than my mother was because I was scared, in a way that me opening my mouth would make me a target, that they would want to, now that it's publicly known that I saw a UFO, that they would come for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's always been a eerie thing in my head. But, as I get older, I it's more intriguing to me to have experienced that than to keep it hidden, out of fear.
Actually, one of my previous guests, he had an innate fear of aliens as well.
And part of what's so scary about it is the unknown. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no solid proof of anything. There's no, as far as the public knows, there's been no encounters, so it's like, it could literally be whatever your mind shapes it to be. You give it as much power as you want to. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, it is a fear of the unknown.
I have bad anxiety, and part of my anxiety is just like, think when things aren't in my control. And I think that's part of what made me freak out so much about that situation was like, I'm out of control. There's bigger beings and powers involved in this situation. That's not me, and I just had to accept that in the moment. And it was hard for me. And it still is hard for me, that there's bigger pieces in play than us, trying to think about the insignificance of our size. Whenever, if I ever try and get in my own head and picture the world, from a outer space view, I can't look at YouTube videos, I can't look at pictures, I can't look at anything from an outsider's view of what we are here, or else I get in my own head and I get lightheaded, I get dizzy. It's really bad.
I get that. Like, when I try and think about the full size of the universe, now it's forever expanding. It's so hard.
Exactly. And we only every day keep finding out how much smaller we really are, Exactly. The insignificance of your problems in the universe.
All right, brother.
That's all good. Have a good night. Thank you so much again.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated with the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member have had an encounter that you would like to share, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head on over to my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com and connect with me via the contact page. Big thank you to Irene, Dan, Rudy, and Daniel. And thank you all for listening. I will be back next week with more witness encounters. Till next time, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.